I will call the meeting of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors for September 20th, 2012 to order and note that we have 24 members present, which is a quorum, and invite all who are interested to join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome, all. Supervisor Downer has something right off the bat.
Yes.
This is going to be a good night, I can tell.
Yes, it is, Madam Chair. This morning, I walked over and picked up my shirt this morning over at the county clerk's office, and it was excellent, really good. And when I picked it up, I asked the question, where is my sweater that goes along with it? And the county clerk was sitting back in her office way in the back, and she heard the comment, and I could hear her yell at me, but it was 105 degrees outside when we bought the shirts. That's my only comment.
Thank it's you. A good reminder of how quickly seasons change. That's one of the beauties of living in Wisconsin, is it not? All right, just a couple of items for me under my report. Because of the staffing flexibility that is occurring up in the county board chair's office, I am going to ask that county board supervisors for all meetings, including committee meetings and county board meetings, please start the process of calling in your absences to the clerk's office. So there's a centralized place for that. We will try and make sure that we reinforce that point on all of the agendas that go out, but if you would please start that practice of calling in absences to the clerk's office, please. Any questions about that? A couple of details on the Wisconsin Counties Association conference that we are hosting in a couple of days. It starts on Sunday officially and runs through Tuesday. I'm going to read through the list of supervisors. I just want to make sure we have everybody who thinks they're attending on the list, and maybe a reminder to those who signed up but had forgotten that they were attending the conference. Supervisors Ebert, Cruz, Schrader, Geary, Pedretti, Jerome, Hampson, Burke, Tara Johnson, Richmond, Downer, Becker, Friedland, Holtz, and Meyer are who we have listed as attendees from La Crosse County for the WCA conference. If you are not on that list and think you should be, please come up after the meeting and we will take care of that. If you are on that list and don't think you should be, please plan to come starting on Sunday. And also of note, there is a sign-up sheet floating around. I think Amy's helping pass that around now. We do have a booth. It's booth number 108 in the marketplace, the exhibit hall. And this is not restricted to attendees. If you are interested in just coming in and helping out to staff that booth, it's really just our friends at the Visitors and Convention Bureau are helping with that, and it's really just promoting La Crosse County. So if you are interested in helping to staff that booth for a couple of hours, please sign up on the sign-up sheet. We need a couple of people for each shift. It's just on Monday of the conference, so that makes it a little bit easier. And if you are not attending the conference but want to come in and work at the booth for a little bit, that would be great, and we will make arrangements to get you into the conference to be able to do that. And please make sure also that you indicate a cell phone number so that we can reach you in case we need to shift those hours a little bit or we're looking for you 15 minutes into your shift and you haven't arrived yet, which I know isn't going to happen. But let me think. Supervisor conference reports and announcements. I will start with a couple of them. One is a reminder, if you haven't already done so, please complete your United Way pledge form and turn that in. The envelope is up at the front of the room again this evening. I would encourage everyone to make some contribution, if at all possible. The shirts are in, as Supervisor Downer referenced, and they are available to pick up at the front of the room after the meeting. Please make sure you have your payment ready. Ginny's a stickler for details, including no shirt, no money, no shirt is the policy tonight on the shirts. Lastly, I would like to welcome to the front of the room Sharon Davidson, who is the assistant financial manager for the county, who is sitting in for Gary Ingvaldson and providing gender equality to the front of the room in a way that we have not experienced it before. So welcome, Sharon. Thank you. Any other supervisor conference reports or announcements? Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to share something that came into Terry Pavlik's office today. Terry was asking the League of Women Voters Observer Corps if they wanted to continue with the committees they're on. And this is the answer she got from one of them. You can take me off the list for now. The purpose of the League of Women Voter Observer Corps was to monitor governmental meetings to see if there were any issues that League had already studied or any issues that might be topics for future study that we could take action on. Please convey to the committee members how impressed I am with their work. They always come prepared, have meaningful, respectful discussions, and the administrators from Hillview and Lakeville are able to summarize the issues and have the answers. Having Mr. O'Malley there as a resource is also a plus. I think county government is very well run, and my time might be better spent at City Hall. And there are so few compliments in this business that I want you to all take this to heart.
Thank you, Supervisor Hampson. Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two things. The Judiciary and Law Committee meeting in October is October 9th, not October 8th. I think that there are some documents out that may have indicated that it was the 8th. It's Tuesday, October 9th. And the second announcement is, I think that many of you may have seen in the news this morning about Officer our La Crosse Deputy John Williams receiving the Carnegie Medal for Heroism. And we talked about this before. He was recognized in the state, but this was the June 25th incident where he jumped into the river to rescue a person, a man who was in the river, and with the help of some boaters was able to save that particular person. So I think, again, this is another example of the fine work that public employees do, and particularly those in service to us in protection.
Thank you for that, Supervisor Burke. Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as a reminder, this evening, immediately after the meeting, our get-together up at Arlene's house, as she calls it, the County Board Appreciation for what we do. But I think it's kind of in reverse for what her and Jerry has done. So if everybody or anybody can make it, sure would like to see you there. Thank you.
Will you remind us of the address, please?
Follow my car up to, on Alaska.
We'll get it before we adjourn.
Yeah,
so
it's really simple to get to up on, I don't want to say it publicly, I guess. Okay.
Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to remind everybody and hope that they would come up to Colgan's Hangar Saturday morning. We're having our 10th Freedom Honor Flight. Either come in the morning or come at night when the guys get back. And they get back about 10:30. Or you can be there at 5:30 in the morning. But please come. It's worth the... It's worth it to see how these guys react.
Supervisor Doyle.
For those who are asking, the address for Arlene's house.
Well, we maybe don't want to say it for some reason. I don't know why.
Why wouldn't we?
Oh, it's public record.
It's in the phone book.
I mean, from her past service on the board. So.
Right. 416 Fifth Avenue North in Onalaska. 416 Fifth Avenue North in Onalaska. Look for the Green Bay Packers stuff all over the place.
There's a summary of directions also up here at the front if you want to look at that before you head out. Any other supervisor announcements or conference reports? If not, last item for me then that was on the addendum is to draw your attention to the goldenrod colored sheet of paper that should have been on your desk when you arrived this evening, that there is a vacancy in District 11 following the resignation of Supervisor Bill Brockmiller, and outlining the planned timeline for filling that vacancy, and asking all of you to participate in that process as actively as you can, both in recruiting applicants who live in the 11th district and also participating in the group interviews that we plan to conduct that week of October 22nd. So they will kind of come in trial by fire and have to vote on the budget right away in November, but I want to make sure that the 11th district is represented as quickly as possible. Any questions on that schedule, or Supervisor Friedland?
I just want to thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to put on record my thanks and appreciation to Supervisor Brockmiller. He was always a very diligent worker, hardworking, dependable, enthusiastic, and always ethical in everything that he did. And I appreciate the service that he gave to the La Crosse County Board.
Thank you, Supervisor Friedland. Any other questions or comments on that? If not, over to you, Administrator O'Malley.
Yes, I first of all have a proclamation for Wisconsin Juror Appreciation Month. Be it resolved, the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors hereby supports the goals of Juror Appreciation Month, educate the public about jury duty and the importance of jury service, applaud the efforts of jurors who fulfill their civic duty, and ensure that all jurors are treated with respect and that their service is not unduly burdensome. Be it further resolved, La Crosse County Board of Supervisors extends its sincere thanks and appreciation to all employers who pay employees their normal wages while allowing them to serve as jurors, preventing financial hardship, and fostering community strength. Be it finally resolved, the County Board honors the service and commitment of citizens who perform jury duty, who by participating in the judicial process aid those elected to serve the citizens of La Crosse County by preserving the rule of law, the basis for a free society.
Is there a motion to approve the proclamation? Moved by Supervisor Becker, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Discussion on the proclamation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That proclamation is approved. Thank you, Mr. O'Malley.
The next item we have is the annual report from Xcel Energy regarding the French Island plant. And for those new supervisors, of course, this is an ongoing relationship that we have in our solid waste operation. As you know, it's one of the most critical and key components of our sustainable solid waste disposal system. Hank Cook is also here, of course, as your solid waste director. If there are questions about the interaction or relationship within the whole system, I'll just turn it over to Mike Harrell from Xcel Energy.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks again for allowing us to come back again this year and give you a quick report on what's happening out at French Island. With me tonight are Mark Peidel. Mark is the plant director at French Island, and Tina Ball. She's our senior environmental analyst. My name is Mike Harrell. I'm the area manager for Xcel. Like Steve said, it's a great partnership that we have out there. What we do is we burn wood and garbage. We call it RDF, refuse derived fuel. We separate it out to produce electricity in the greater La Crosse area. You have in your packets there the overview. I'm going to give you my top 10 list off of that, just the top 10 highlights since last year up to date. Not like David Letterman, no, I don't do it as well as he does. So we've really had a good run since last year at the plant, including a lot of positive comments from the community. When I go out and talk to people, I hear a lot of real good things, particularly the ones that are in the know that have taken the tours over there. In fact, over 800 people toured the plant in 2011. Tours are offered the first Tuesday of the month. We used to offer it at any time, and we had so many people coming and going, we decided to have it just once a month. So it's the first Tuesday of the month except for October. It's the first Thursday of the month except for October is Tuesday. That's how it worked. In October, we have over 100 university students that come, so we make special arrangement for them. But I want to extend particularly the newer board members, anyone that would like to come to the plant If you can't make one of our regularly scheduled times, we're more than willing to give you a private tour of the plant. I think you will be impressed by that. In 2011, we had zero environmental exceedances. We also had zero lost time accidents, and that's 5 years running with no lost time accidents at that plant. And if you go out there and see all the moving parts, that's quite an accomplishment. In 2011, we accepted 76,000 tons of municipal solid waste. The contract says we have to accept a minimum of 73,000. We produced 55,000 tons of RDF, which is a 74% yield, and that's higher than the contract limit at 66%. We also signed long-term agreements for non-ferrous or aluminum and ferrous recycling, and those contracts are signed through 2016. The prices are at the point we could do that again. Our current contract expires in 2023. This year was also a big year. We've worked hard the last couple years to allow us to burn 100% RDF. We were the only plant in the country that had a 50-50 limit on burning RDF and wood. We always had to burn it at a 50-50 ratio. This 100%, we don't typically do it, but it really gives us a lot more flexibility on outages and when you have one of our boilers down. So that was a real big accomplishment. We've been working, like I said, very well with the county. Hank is excellent to work with. We're working on many forward-thinking initiatives regarding beneficial reuse of our ash, long-term ash contract proposals and considerations within the current contract, such as guaranteed tonnages. We're also looking at setting a higher yield and how to deal with, and we're working with the county on planning for their new sale in 2014. So we've got a lot of things on the table, and like I said, Hank has been really good to work with. I think we've got a real good relationship with the county right now. So with that real quick overview, I'm going to open up for questions. Like I said before, though, if you'd like to take a tour, you're more than welcome, or even if you'd like to get a DVD. We didn't do it tonight, but we've got a DVD that runs 10 or 15 minutes. It gives a real good overview of the plant. So at this point, I'm just going to open up for questions, and if I can't answer it, Mark or Tina will help me. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from supervisors? Supervisor Veenstra.
Greetings. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for the report. One thing, I don't know if it's even possible or not, but if we could get this earlier.
Okay.
We asked for that, I think, the last time I was here, which was 3 years ago or four or something.
Well, didn't we get it? I know last year I think you got it the night of, but I know we dropped it off last week, so we can talk to Steve.
No, I appreciate it that you put it together and give it to us, but it sounds like everything's hunky-dory, but it's a lot to swallow.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, though.
Any other questions or comments from supervisors? Supervisor Friedland.
Thank you. I want to ask a general question about how you feel XL at the local level, although more importantly, actually, at a higher level, feels about waste to energy as part of the renewable resources that XL adds to its list, and going into the future, how that bodes for the relationship, the ongoing relationship between XL and the county as we get closer to the time that the contract negotiations will get more vigorous. And also in light of the fact that there are so few waste-to-energy facilities in the United States, I think there's only like 87 of them or something like that. Do you all see this as a viable way of producing local energy in future years, and even perhaps something that should be increased, can be built on?
I'll try that, Mark. You just hook me if I'm going the wrong direction here. But, I mean, my personal view is it's a great renewable energy source. XL is known for, we've got a very diverse portfolio with wind, hydro. Renewable is a pretty small slice. I agree with your sentiment, and I can't believe there's not more of it in the United States. I know Europe has done a lot more in the last few years for renewable energy or with RDF plants. This is a good plant here. We have a contract. It's our intent to extend that contract. And, you know, the other thing is I've been a little surprised we haven't done any more initiatives to do a lot of RDF in, within our portfolio, but and but either of other plants around the country or other utilities. So we just like to, you know, keep running things down here as best as we can. And like I said, I think we have a real good product here. But I share your sentiment as far as I'm really surprised there isn't more of this in the state or the country. I don't know if I answered that, Maureen, but I think we do support this plant, and all the way up to the top, they know of the plant, and it's they see it as a good resource here. But as far as making it much bigger within our portfolio, I don't see that happening in the near term.
Okay. Well, I'd like to hear you say that there are ways of producing so much local energy that we don't need the high voltage transmission lines, but I suppose that would be asking a lot.
Was this the CapEx 2020 meeting that I showed up at?
No, but thank you, because I do think that the facility works well here in La Crosse, and it is something that, we appreciate here.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And just as a conclusion, we've been doing this once a year for, I think, is it 6 or 7 years, Mike? Just to check with the board if they think this is still helpful to do once a year or to do in writing or do through the committee process. I don't know, I'm just, Mike didn't know I was going to ask this, but we're just looking.
You're breaking his heart, I can tell, at the prospect of not having to come here
a
year from now.
And again, we'll obviously bring any information that's necessary when we have decisions related to the plant, or continue the annual report if you feel it's helpful. We just want to be responsive. So
immediate reaction to Mr. O'Malley's question about continue it in the format that we've been doing, which is a direct report to the county board or through the committee process, either verbally or in writing, through Solid Waste Policy Board and through Public Works and Infrastructure. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate getting the annual report, and I know citizens have some questions. You know, there's this lingering doubt about whether it's the right thing to do, and it's good to have that as ammunition to say what a good job we're doing, and I appreciate it in writing. So I'm in favor of continuing annual reports. Thank you.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would just assume they do a briefing with the board chair, and she could, or she or he could decide at that time if it should come up, if there's been substantial, you know, changes or something. I think that way you'd get the best of both worlds. If there's something that the chair feels should go to the full board, fine. If not, do it through the
So you're wanting
process.
To shift power that currently resides with the full board to the chair of
Absolutely.
The
Absolutely.
Just wanted for the record for that to be stated. Supervisor Pedretti.
Well, I guess this kind of dovetails on Supervisor Veenstra's. I would like to see this ahead of time because I'm not prepared to ask questions. And I know in the past I've had a chance to really look at it and ask some questions. I don't feel like I can tonight. I like, thank you, Mike, for coming. I like that they're here, that they're responsive to our questions. So I would like to continue it if you're asking for personal. I think it's helpful to the county as a whole as well.
I'm seeing lots of head nodding. Does that give you enough? Gives us great feedback. Thank you very much. Back to you, Mr. Thank you, Tina. And
okay, I've only got a few slides to do tonight because you're getting so much information in your book. This is a little bit earlier, isn't it? I just want to give you a brief overview on a higher level of the county administrator's recommended budget. You have in your lockers, if you haven't picked it up yet, obviously the entire annual document that we're bringing to you that will start through the committee review process in October. I've got a few slides to update you on. And to give you information, especially for new board members that may not be aware of each of the pieces that we give you and the information, as well as what the recommendation includes. So let me go. There we go. First of all, the total gross budget is just over $137 million. It's an increase of about 2%, And primarily that's in gross expenditures in two key areas. Obviously, you know that you've heard a lot of information about highway maintenance and highway projects. We're making a significant investment, an expanded investment in highway capital and highway maintenance. And, of course, in human services in the Regional Economic Support Consortium, there's an increase of over $2 million just in gross expenditures. But remember, that's not with increased levy. That's actually with outside revenue that ends up allowing us to provide that economic support on an eight-county basis. Again, I'm going to just touch on some of the high points. You should know that after 3 years in a row of a 0% operating levy increase, no other increase except for debt service over the last 3 years, including 2012, I am proposing as the administrator a budget increase of the operating levy by just over 1%, raising $314,000 in a line item for you to determine how to spend it separately in the first quarter of next year for either jail staffing or road maintenance. Over the next several months, you're going to hear more details of the challenges that we have both in jail staffing and in road maintenance. We'll never have enough money to do everything that we need to do, but you'll notice that particularly at Judiciary and Law and during our October cycle, we'll talk more about the challenges of our jail, some of the things happening in the jail population, and that by the time of presenting the budget to you, I was not able to make a final determination if we could put more into roads or more into jail staffing. The judges, Jane Kleekamp, the sheriff, probation, parole, are convening a regular ongoing monthly meeting to review what's happening with the jail population to try to see if there's any additional way to reduce the jail population, to postpone having to staff that additional pod there, and we'll end up having that discussion and debate. But this board will make that decision if you concur with the administrator's budget on how to spend that during the first quarter. If you want to make a note, the line item for that $314,000 is on page 37, org 1064. You'll actually see a line item that is account number 79127 towards the bottom of the page that has a total of $314,200 that allowed us to go to the maximum that would not increase our operating rate. Due to the increased value of new construction, we actually outperformed many of the other counties in the state and had actually some increased value growth. By capturing that and freezing our rate at what it currently is in operating levy, it allows us to not bump up against the operating levy rate limit that I'll talk about in a moment. Finally, the recommended levy is almost $500,000 lower than the rate limit that's currently established under the existing law. The reason that I'm not recommending going to that maximum limit is that the dollar amount, while certainly we could use it for roads, certainly we could use it for jail staffing, is that would push us very close to the operating levy limit that is still in law, which only suspended for 2 years. And I'll explain that in more detail as we go through consideration. This is a, and I do have copies of this, by the way, to hand out as well, but you're getting so much paper today, I want to go through this. This gives you a historical perspective over the last 4 years, including 2013 projected. We've had a 0% operating levy increase. The increase in 2010-2011 was due entirely to debt service for the law enforcement center. As you know or recall, in 2012, it was an absolute zero, no increase in tax levy whatsoever. Partly because of the decrease in equalized value. And then this year, if you choose to adopt the administrator's budget as presented, it includes that increase for that purpose. I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize all of the department heads and management staff and financial staff throughout this organization that makes this possible. While I have the privilege of being able to put together and lead the effort, it is the department heads and their staff that make this actually happen. 4 years in a row of a 0% increase in operating levy is because of their ability and dedication to maximize revenues where possible, to control expenses where practical, to reduce the amount of travel expenses, to cut back on positions where they're able. To control this is about a team effort. It's not about one department head or one finance director or assistant finance director. It's about the organization pulling together to recognize that we're all in this together, that we're about trying to provide the best services we can for the public while we control and maintain one of the lowest levies for county services in the state. And in particular, our Human Services Department is the unsung hero this year. They did such a great job last year that it put us in a position of being able to shift some resources into a vital need, which is highway maintenance. The ability to do that across departments is really a testament to how much trust we have amongst departments. While sometimes we have friction on different issues, as anyone would have disagreement, we pull together and produce these budgets together. And I really want to shout out to our department heads and their staff that make this possible. In addition to that, as I noted, that's on a gross level, the total amount of actual levy dollars. This also shows our history, and as you'll notice, the total tax rate is frozen at 3.87 with this recommended budget if you choose to adopt it. Just want to touch briefly on Wisconsin levy limit and what that means, as well as historical perspective. We are currently the fifth lowest per capita in total operating levy in the state, 14th lowest tax rate in the state. And under previous levy limits, before the current administration and current legislature changed the rules, we were over $3 million below the actual amount of levy that we could have levied just in the previous levy limits. There are still two existing levy limits that are in effect. The 1993 operating levy limit, rate limit of $3.24. If you want to follow along with what I'm talking about as far as rate limits, the easiest and one of the most comprehensive two-page summaries is the yellow page here in your document. My cover letter summarizes a number of these things, but the yellow page gives you very quickly a year-by-year comparison of every single budget on one page. In the lower left-hand corner, again, it's small type, so I always need my reading glasses for this as well, but you'll end up seeing where that rate limit is. It's called mill rate comparison. You'll see operating at $3.13, total mill rate of 386, rounded to 387. That's what we end up tracking. The 1993 operating rate limit was on that $3.13 amount. That's what we need to watch. While the current administration and the legislature suspended that rate limit for 2 years, they have not eliminated that. Even though we have one of the lowest rates in the state, we are still capped at that level, and if equalized value either stagnates or drops, we can easily raise the total rate, even with leaving spending at the same. And that's one of the ongoing challenges that we have, that while we spend less property tax levy than most counties, we are held to a different standard because of this 1993 operating rate limit. You may hear other counties at WCA this weekend talking about that. Many of them did not have any growth in equalized value, so they're pressed right up against that. We're watching this on a two- or three-year basis because we don't want to end up having to make different decisions in the future if we end up hitting that limit. I could explain that in more detail, but I know for board members that have been on the board for a while, they know this challenge that we've had. In addition to that, the legislature has established for this current cycle a 0% levy limit absolute, except for any increased value in new construction or paying off of pre-2005 debt. Because we've been so frugal and paying off debt as we're able, and because we've been lucky enough to experience a little bit of equalized value growth, that's why you see that underused amount of $480,000 that we didn't use of the current levy limits. Not the $3 million, that's gone away, but the point is that we've never gone to the limit. We've always tried to manage to what the smallest amount is that we could do. And just to give you a comparison, if we had levied that additional $3 million, we'd still be, at my best estimation, 7th or 8th per capita. We would not move up very, very much, but $3 million is obviously a great deal of money. So I just wanted to illustrate and give you some historical background. Note that the legal debt limit is tied to a total amount of borrowing capacity. It's not limited based on rate. Obviously, we would never advocate to borrow this amount of money, but it's capped at 5% of equalized value net of any outstanding debt. We would be able to borrow an additional $328 million. I can't imagine on what basis we would need to do that, but it's capped at a dollar amount of debt, not at a dollar amount of tax levy. included in your packet, and I'll go through some of the handouts just to make it helpful for you. This pie chart describes, if you see the handouts that are separate from the book itself, a couple of years ago, we started the practice of providing you a detailed explanation, not having to go to a pie chart or listing of the total amount of debt that we're utilizing for general obligation debt. You'll notice at the end of 2011, our total balance on the second page that we owed as a county is $67.8 million. Projected through the end of 2013, we will owe $61.1 million. Again, the challenges that we're dealing with, of course, are mainly the law enforcement center. If you go to the front page of that handout, you'll see in the upper right-hand corner, there will be $1.1 million left of payments on the old law enforcement center. That will be paid off in 2014, and that will give us a little bit of room on dealing with some of the maintenance and other administrative building and other kinds of needs that we have, but that's one of the things that we still have that one more year to pay off the old 1997 law enforcement center, and that's one of the challenges we have. Also, in your lower right-hand column, you'll see the large project that we're going to be recommending that we do in 2013, County OA, and also another culvert project, I believe, on County D that is necessary. That's why we're proposing borrowing the $4.9 million for highway capital projects. And again, we'll get back into that in more detail, but you can actually track through where those dollar amounts are, as well as I'll have a handout that gives you the details of this pie chart. Next is just, again, a quick overview. To achieve the 0% other than the $314,000, as I mentioned, it's spread across all departments. Not all departments took the same a decrease. There were many departments that we needed to do some increasing in, particularly highway, information technology, a number of items that you'll end up seeing in your detailed review of the document. Position attrition is one in many departments, particularly the larger departments, is one of the reasons we've had success. And Human Services has done an excellent job of controlling their out-of-home placements, their mental health placements, and also capturing all the revenue that they can that may not repeat every year, but it's helped rebuild their fund balance and reserves and allows us to take a little bit more risk this year as we need to fund highway at a higher level. Third year in a row of no increase in health and dental premiums. Our employees are doing an excellent job of staying as healthy as they can, participating in wellness programs, doing the best job that they can to help control long-term our health and dental costs. And, of course, consistent with the budget repair bill, our unions agreed to a 2% wage increase subject to the standard that was established in the budget repair bill for each of the 2 years of 2012 and 2013. So this continues with that practice and still allows us to achieve a 0% increase in levy other than for jail staffing or highway, as I mentioned earlier. That's the only reason for that increase. We continue with a moderate reliance on fund balance usage. There's a blue sheet that's in the handouts that lets you track year by year how we utilize the strength of our balance sheet, or the strength of our reserves, to be able to control individual costs. Again, I'll go through that in more detail and answer questions, but you get a chance to go through that and see the decisions that we've made as a staff and are recommending to you. In addition to that is the one of the longer sheets gives you, and we started this a number of years ago, where we've summarized the entire comprehensive annual financial report and unassigned balances, so you get an idea of where the reserves are, how we're utilizing those to help us control costs. The strength of our balance sheet helps us do the types of things that we're doing, and also not need to make knee-jerk decisions. If you want to make changes or there are contingencies that we haven't anticipated, we have the ability and time to rely on those balances. Finally, in your handouts is a detail that we do for you each year of sales tax, one of the most important revenue sources we have to control property taxes. Is that this board decided years ago to operate with a 0.5% sales tax, which is optional. 10 counties in the state don't do that. The rest of them do. We apply that directly against the property tax levy and budget for that in here. But each year we're conservative on what we count on, because we don't want to end up having to make make up a difference. So you end up seeing, and we'll walk through that, but you'll end up seeing what that balance is, that each year sometimes we gain a little bit more than we had expected in there. It stays in that reserve, and we use that entirely for different purposes. One year we put $1.3 million into roads directly, dollar for dollar, and accomplish that. Most years what we do is we apply roughly that $300,000 against economic development expenditures in the economic development budget for economic development staff, association memberships, those types of things. Instead of directly levying taxes, we use the excess for economic development because, again, we're one of the more successful economies in the state. Our local economy seems to be producing better than some counties. So we're using the success of retail sales to help us control property taxes, but also re-stimulate the economic development work that we do. Let's see, I think that, oh, and one other handout that's included, of course, is you've liked the outside, rather than having to go through each line item and find this, this is outside agencies that we provide some type of funding to, both as memberships and otherwise. You get to have that detail and go through and challenge, should we continue to fund that? What's the purpose of the outside agencies? But that makes you not go through each individual line item to be able to find. In addition to that, you'll get... Okay. Later, you'll end up getting a comprehensive fees list of all of the fees that the county levies for users of various services. That's a comprehensive catalog that we started several years ago. We'll walk through the choices and decisions, and you'll actually act on that separately. So if you get feedback from people that we should charge a fee or not charge a fee in that area, we're using fees to help lower property taxes by having the user of a service do that. There's not a drastic increase in fees or a couple of key fees that we'll be identifying that we'll talk about. You'll also get a detail on indirect cost, as well as some changes in personnel positions. We're having a number of different changes in full-time equivalency of a number of positions across departments. Roughly about 1.9 individual positions net will be reduced in various departments. We'll walk through that, as well as an increase of about 2 positions net in positions that are increased and paid for with outside funding sources, non-tax levy, primarily in the Regional Economic Development Consortium, some grant dollars both in aging and nutrition. But again, you'll get that at a future meeting. We'll walk through those details and answer questions about that. Let's see. Those are all the handouts and all of that information. Let me finish then with, again, we're not highly reliant on increased user fees, though there will be a number that we will propose for your consideration. We continue the strategy that we've done in 2012 of utilizing highway fund balance to make debt payments for highway projects going into 2013 and 2014. And beyond that, then, we use direct debt levy as we save and pay off the law enforcement center, and we'll talk about those kinds of details. We continue to have our debt strategy, which is to hold the total debt levy at just under $4 million and trying to control and live within that limit. In the future, I think we'll have to have an ongoing policy discussion about, is that the right strategy? With the unmet road needs that we continue to have, with the issues about the administrative building and other challenges, I think we're going to have to revisit that. But I want to make sure that's in the context of all of the use of debt that we need to evaluate, whether or not you as a policy board are comfortable with making those decisions. So we're holding the line on all of that, as I indicated, going into the 2013 budget. Finally, the Mississippi Valley Health Services Commission, which helps control some of the costs at the Lakeview services. They provide direct payments of roughly $1 million a year from other counties to help support the services at Lakeview. As you know, and there will be a couple of resolutions we'll talk about this evening, the ongoing consortium and the work with other counties will be an ongoing policy review that you'll need to evaluate in the new year and decide, is that the right process for Lakeview? Is that the right process for La Crosse County? But at their recent board meeting, they recommended or accepted our recommendation of a 7% increase in that rate. You have a number of board members here that participated in that discussion from $59.85 per day to $64. We have ongoing challenges with census and Western Wisconsin Cares to continue to address, but that's part of the purpose of the two studies we're going to be talking about. Let me go to the next couple of slides. So priorities and major board decisions. I had a couple of new board members want to be assured of when and how we're going to make decisions. So I want to make sure you understand at a high level decisions that are going to be within this budget, not just that you can make about any individual line item, but here are some of our expectations. First of all, again, during first quarter, I'm going to ask the board and the sheriff to weigh in on what is happening with jail population. Can we get by for another year without opening the additional pod? Can we control the population enough, or do you need to put all or part of that line item into expanding jail staffing? Remember that opening that last pod that is already built and already there will take 5 to 6 staff members. That's depending on when you start the staff members. That's as much as $380,000 for six staff positions. You don't get any additional roads. You don't get any additional, but it locks up more people. And I'm concerned about that, and we'll talk more about that as we go through. Lakeview planning. The study results, if you adopt the two RFP resolutions that we have this evening, will be presented to this board in January, possibly February. We'll ask you to review recommendations and facility decisions in the new year, and facility would require bonding and debt service to begin payments in 2014. Recognize that we have not budgeted for actually doing that. I don't have a $10 million line item or a $30 million line item. There is no decision made within this budget about our facility. That will be a decision that this board will make based upon the best information we have then. It will require a two-thirds vote, just like any action, but it's not budgeted. So just like any action to issue debt requires a two-thirds vote, it will require a two-thirds vote to amend this budget to go ahead with a facilities decision. So by adopting this budget, you have not presumed what we're going to do other than we're going to get information and make that budget in the new year. We don't have a real large window, by the way, to make the decision. We have to make some decisions about the facility, and since we've ruled out remodeling the existing facility, we need to know going forward, but you need to have data and information to make that decision. Third bullet point is the administrative building evaluation and options. These are all items that we talked about at the county board retreat after the election. We have a dollar amount in here for architectural and engineering services to begin to evaluate the pros and cons of remodeling this existing building and dealing with the issues that we've got here or building new. So you'll get into those kinds of things. Again, that will be a contract that the county board will award. You'll end up guiding that process. You'll end up deciding, do you have a separate building committee for either one of these projects? You could also choose to postpone that until the following year if we're so busy with the Lakeview project. But at least we have a placeholder for these items in here. We're utilizing fund balance, by the way, not new tax levy for that administrative study. We're using Lakeview capital money, not tax levy, for the Lakeview planning as well. So we're using existing resources without raising property tax levy for either one of those items. And finally, highway capital projects and increased maintenance money. We are doing both a major increase in capital projects. The biggest capital project, just to remind you, is County OA. If you know the rural area, it's kind of the south bypass of La Crosse. Depending on which direction you're going from West Salem or from the south side of La Crosse, from Fox Hollow to the bottom of FO. So it's a very significant project. It's a very costly project. Rather than break that up into 2 years, we're asking you to consider doing that in 1 year. You've already done the design. You've already done the property acquisition. But it's a significant project, and that's why we're spreading the payments of that over 10 years instead of a five-year process. So we're going to talk about that. In addition to that, we're adding an additional $445,000 into highway operating levy for maintenance and a number of the issues that are involved there. We still believe we're about $1 million short per year of what we should be spending on maintenance. And still in the list, you can see millions of dollars worth of projects that are necessary to maintain our roads and to get and to keep ahead of needs for our community. I asked the highway commissioner to put together a couple of things that we've illustrated the impact of inflation and that type of thing, but I don't think we did as good a job as we could in showing you the level of this challenge and why we as your staff and your professional staff are so concerned about what's going on with highway maintenance. One part of maintenance, and it's much cheaper than building new, right, and reconstructing, we've learned that from Ron and his staff, is seal coating is one of the most cost-effective ways to stay ahead of not having to rebuild a road completely to scratch. We spend each year about $460,000 a year on seal oil and chips that actually go over a road. And just give you an idea, we've been spending about $460,000 a year for several years in a row. Back in, I don't have my distance glasses, what's that first year up there?
2004 to current. Back in 2004, that did 12 miles of road. This year that does, what is that, number 6? No, 50 miles of road. Excuse me, I went to my next slide. 50 miles of road of seal coating, not considering labor, not considering anything else, but just the cost of doing that. Today, that same amount of money does less than 20 miles. So while we've been trying to control spending, we've been trying to control dollars, this is the impact of what's not happening, what we're not getting done, and how we're losing ground. And I did jump ahead. The effect of asphalt rock cost on miles rehabilitated or reconditioned is $2.1 million, is approximately what we've been spending most years, all the way back from 2004 per year to now. We're getting almost 12 miles a year done with that same amount of asphalt rock and the cost of doing that. Today it's slightly over 6 miles. So that's the kind of challenge. While we try to hold the line on what we're spending, and the public wants us to do that to control property taxes, remember, 83% roughly of all local road costs are borne by the property taxpayer. And this is the kind of challenge we have to keep up with that. It's far more expensive to do the second slide or full reconstruction than the first slide. But that's, you know, what your buying power is not doing anymore. So finally, I've got two last slides to touch on the main issues by committee that will come to you, and there are obviously a lot more detail. We go through each individual budget if you'd like, or if you have individual questions, myself or finance staff are available on a one-on-one basis or any other way that you want to give us input or ask questions. Public Works and Infrastructure will obviously go through more detail of the new style of highway capital improvement plan and maintenance needs. The administrative building will talk about that architectural engineering services. Solid waste CIP actually takes a little bit of a breather this year, but it's actually preparing for the 2014 construction project of the next cell. So they're actually doing a number of preliminary steps that you'll see in the CIP that gets them ready for that construction project. Veterans, aging, and long-term care obviously will be dominated mainly by the discussions about Lakeview, Hillview collaboration, co-location or cooperation between our facilities and what that might mean. Aging department continues to do everything they can to refine the level of staffing and to use their resources better. There are a couple of refinements and reductions of FTEs within the aging department to expect much more efficiency. And you should know that when a position vacancy comes up within the county, we as staff review that and try to figure out ways to either not fill the position, decrease the FTEs, realign duties. That's not always easy, but it's easier to do at time of vacancy than to lay somebody off and eliminate somebody's job. And we do that on a consistent basis. Planning resources and development, there will be a number of fees that we'll take a look at. Farmland preservation, we'll be recommending a fee that ties directly into our help, that gets people tax credits. We'll be asking for them to help pay for the service rather than the property taxpayers. Zoning fees, we haven't done anything with since 2007. We make some refinement and some suggestions there because, again, building has been way down. We don't have to put as much staff time into that area, but there's some clarifications that we'll ask you to consider in that area. We also, with the exit of Jeff Blusky and a new department head, we're doing some refinement of staffing there. We're not filling the position vacated by Nate Sampson, who is now our department head. Instead, we're adding a 0.8 clerical staff to help deal with some of the grunt work that's involved in planning and zoning. So we're saving a great deal by eliminating a management position, hiring a clerical staff on a part-time basis, and doing some other shifts within there. So we'll go through that with PRD. I believe that'll be on your October 1st agenda in that committee, and we'll end up reviewing those. In addition to that, then, the last two committees I wanted to touch on, judiciary and law. I mentioned at the last J&L meeting that we've got a placeholder in there for video presentations, conferencing in the courts. We'll have staff talk more about what we're looking at, get your input as we discuss that, and there are a number of field trips going on to try to see what options we have and what the needs of our courts are in that area. We'll never have enough money to do every courtroom, but we're going to see what we can do to expand those capabilities. Again, at the committee's suggestion, we're following up on that. Obviously, jail population changes will be the most significant discussion in that committee and for this board going into the new year. Finally, Health and Human Services has many large issues that continue to happen because of changes of the legislature. We'll be talking about HS Connect, or the software program for how we do case management and revenue management and everything within the Human Services Department. We've had a chance to brief that with the chair of the board and the chair of the committee. We'll end up reviewing that with the Health and Human Services Board, as well as the full board, on that recommendation. We think it makes the most sense to continue to proceed with that. Obviously, the Regional Economic Consortium is going to continue to be an ongoing issue. We don't get as good a funding as some of the other consortiums in the state. We continue to battle that. Jason Witt, your director, and Lori Graff, our director of that area, continue to battle for a more equitable funding and how we end up balancing out those costs. And how we manage risk. We have a healthy fund balance for our Human Services Department. How much risk do we take when we budget as low as we possibly can, anticipating what the placement costs are? We do have that ability to fall back on that, and we'll talk more about that as well as that comes forward. Finally, the Health Department is transitioning from obviously a lot of grant money for the obesity prevention, health promotion, safe routes to schools. We're obviously eliminating a couple of positions that are no longer funded because of the end of funding, but they've been able to capture additional funding to keep some of those programs going. We'll talk about that. And of course, home health continues to be a challenge to try to control those. So that in 12 slides is trying to summarize a $137 million budget. We're going to give you a lot more details, but we've given you so much reading material, so there won't be a quiz on it, but we always want to provide you the details that you've asked for. And I will take a breath and see if there's some questions tonight, but recognize we'll do this at all the committee meetings next month. We'll have as many committee meetings as board members would like. We'll also do a more detailed review at your policy planning meeting, the first meeting in October, and there will be a special exec meeting. There's usually at least one special exec meeting to kind of do a wrap-up of any individual details, and of course we have then meetings in November as well. So this starts our process. We're actually a couple weeks ahead of presenting this. Last year we didn't get this to you till the end of the month. So Madam Chair, I'll entertain any questions if there are at this point.
I'm just making sure you stop to take a breath. What you said. Okay. Are there any questions, comments at this stage of the game on the budget for 2013? You have many chances, tonight being your first.
And again, just to reiterate the offer, if you've got questions, you're just wondering about something, make an appointment, call me, we'll make it work. Finance staff is always available. Sharon, Gary, and others are also available, or your department heads, of course, if you've got a concern about particularly departments that report to your committee or otherwise. All of this information is open to you, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Is that it for you then on your report? I'll note that cards and correspondence are back on the bulletin board at the rear of the room. No committees will be meeting during a recess that we won't be having. It's one of those agenda items. I'm not really sure why it's on every meeting agenda, but and with that, I will ask that Supervisor Hampton take the chair for appointments, please. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move approval of the three appointments listed on the agenda and ask to keep the floor after a second.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just note that the reappointment of Supervisor Spiker to the Solid Waste Policy Board, for those of you who are tracking, yes, we did this last month. We are reappointing him again because we had the incorrect date on his original appointment, so my apologies for that, but you aren't seeing things and you're not seeing double Chuck Spiker.
Is that it?
Yes.
Is there any further discussion on the appointments? Supervisor Meyer.
In item 7-6, is that name right?
7-6,
where is Mike that? Wabi. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. Anything else for you?
No.
Thank you.
You.
That takes us to the consent agenda, item 9-7. The chair would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Moved by Supervisor Schrader, seconded by Supervisor Landry. Discussion on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Consent agenda is approved. Taking us to Public Works and Infrastructure, Supervisor Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have items 9-8, approval of county farm property annexation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the County Corporate Council to draft a petition to direct annexation to the village of West Salem of approximately 34 acres, consisting of three parcels, of which two are located in Shawnee Park South, and one parcel is in Lewis Point, whose legal descriptions are attached here too as Exhibition A, or Exhibit A, and the attached map, Exhibit B. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to sign a petition for the annexation and other documents effect and result after approval of Corporate Council. Fiscal note, the cost of the annexation is $600, of which the Village of West Salem will pay $400, La Crosse County will pay $200 from Org 1149 and account 64306 entitled Permits. I move for your approval. And if we have any questions, Charlie Handy is here.
Supervisor Meyer moves approval, seconded by Supervisor Ebert. Discussion on the resolution. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously. Back to you, Mr. Meyer.
We have Resolution 9-9, approval of changes for restrictive covenants regarding West Salem property. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Cross County Board hereby authorizes the changes to restricted covenants regarding 9.1 acres subject to a 1947 deed consisting of removal of the right to repurchase the property upon transfer to another entity and clarification that the county's ability to repurchase the property for $1,251.25 shall only occur if the property is no longer being used for educational or recreational purposes. Be it further resolved, the Cross County Board Chair and County Clerk is hereby authorized to execute an amendment to restrict covenants after approval of Corporate Council. Fiscal note, there is no physical note to La Crosse County. I move for your approval.
Moved by Supervisor Meyer to approve, seconded by Supervisor Ebert. Discussion on this resolution. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved unanimously as well. Is that it for you, Supervisor Meyer?
That's it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. To Veterans Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, Supervisor Richmond.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the following 9-10. Regarding accept proposal for study and development of strategic plan for Lakeview Health Center, whereas Resolution 24-812 authorized the replacement of Lakeview Health Center with small neighborhood facilities contingent upon further independent evaluation of the needs and costs, and whereas the resolution further instructed County Administrator to forward a recommendation to conduct an independent business and management analysis to study numerous factors, including project trend of client needs, right sizing of beds, identification of potential licenses, evaluation of staff, efficiencies of co-location versus separate locations, as well as other cost reduction, revenue enhancement measures, and now, therefore, it be resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors hereby accepts the proposal of Whipley LLP in the amount of $82,000. Be it further resolved that upon completion of the study, a formal presentation of the consultant's recommendations shall be made to the Veterans Aging and Long-Term Care Committee and the full county board. Fiscal note, the 2012 Lakeview budget capital projects are $707,375. Due to the uncertainty surrounding the future of Lakeview, the majority of those funds remain unspent. There is sufficient funding in account 4901-860-50 major capital equipment other to cover cost of the study. Move for approval.
Moved by Supervisor Richmond to approve, seconded by Supervisor Ferries. Just from the chair, a note that the copy that's on your desk has the attachment and a record of the correct vote from the two committees. Is there discussion on this resolution? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Richmond.
Okay. I have item number 9-11 regarding accept proposal for engineering site study for Lakeview Healthcare Center neighborhood facilities, whereas Resolution 24-8-12 authorized the replacement of Lakeview Health Center with small neighborhood facilities contingent upon further independent evaluation of the needs and costs, and whereas the resolution further instructed the county administrator to forward a cost estimate to conduct a preliminary engineering site analysis comparing the infrastructure costs and options of locating the neighborhood facilities on the current Lakeview campus or the Hillview campus. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Cross County Board of Supervisors hereby accepts the proposal from HSR Associates in the amount of $16,000. Be it further resolved that upon completion of this study, the formal presentation of the consultant's recommendations shall be made to the Veterans Aging and Long-Term Care Committee and the full county board. Fiscal note, the 2012 Lakeview budget capital projects are $707,375. Move for approval.
Moved by Supervisor Richmond, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Again, the attachments are on the copy that was on your desk, as well as the committee votes. Any discussion on this resolution? Supervisor Schrader.
I'm just wondering why there's such a large discrepancy. There's the low bid was 4,000 and something. There.
This was definitely discussed in the joint committee meeting, but Mr. O'Malley, if you want to remind us of that, please.
There seemed to be a much bigger discrepancy between the lower estimate on what we expected in the project, and then, as I've understood from our purchasing agent and the purchasing manager and facilities director, the larger bid actually had a similar number of hours, a few more hours estimated in the project, but had more expensive people devoted to the project than the successful bidder, as we're recommending. So River Architects estimated a little bit more hours and devoted higher senior and more expensive people to the project than HSR did, and the lowest estimate seemed to think it was a much different project than we were expecting. I also have Brian Josted, our purchasing manager, and Jim Spropolis, who could answer more detailed questions on comparing each of those if you'd like.
Did that answer your question, Supervisor Schrader? You bet. Any other questions? Any other discussion? Supervisor Spiker.
I'm just curious. If they don't meet specs, why do we accept them?
Because, again, this is a request for proposal. We still get to evaluate whether or not they met the mark. We asked all three entities for additional information and feedback on how they interpreted the response. But, again, this is a request for professional services.
So if it's a straight bid, then it would be different. It would be thrown out.
That's correct. If we are if we are buying a piece of equipment that had exact specs that they had met or not, we would have thrown it out. But
thank you.
Other discussion? If not, all those in favor of approval of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously as well. Is that it for you, Supervisor Richmond? Thank you very much. On to Executive Committee, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item number 912 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees have been a faithful part in providing the best of public service to the La Crosse County: Sheila Evans at Hillview, 19 years. Kathleen McEntee, Health Department, 12-plus years. Whereas it is the wish of the County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Kyle. Discussion on the resolution. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. I have item number 913 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Normal hours of operation. Whereas on June 21st, 2012, the County Board adopted changes to Section 3.07 of Chapter 3 of the County Code of Ordinances, which directed that the County Administrator establish hours of operation and required the a report on hours of operation be presented to the County Board for review and approval initially and as often as directed by the County Board. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Board hereby approves the hours of operation for the county as described in the attached report, including changing normal hours of operation of departments in the downtown campus buildings to 8 o'clock a.m. to 4:30 p.m., effective October 1st, 2012, except as noted. Be it further resolved that the County Administrator is directed to keep track of client feedback regarding the change in hours and to evaluate means for offering expanded hours through shared reception functions in the future. Fiscal note, no fiscal impact to La Crosse County. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Discussion on this resolution. Again, I would note that the corrected version is on your desk that has the hours of operation on the back and the vote recorded from the committee. My apologies. We should make a correction to the committee vote. It should read 7 voted for it and 1 against, and 1 was absent.
Oh.
Now, discussion on the resolution. Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just want to indicate that I registered the no vote. I'm still not convinced that about ending at 4:30, and primarily I personally worked for 35 years, and that would have been a very difficult, I could not have possibly made it from 8 to 8:30, that the after time would have been much more important. The other reason being that the traffic in La Crosse, coming into La Crosse from 7:30 to 8 is much more hazardous than it is from 8 to 8:30. I come in from the northern direction all the time. I live on the prairie. I understand that if I lived in a large city that would not be a long commute, but we don't live in a large city. We live in a smaller. And the other morning, coming between 7:30 and 8, it took me almost 20 to 25 minutes to get from the McDonald's on the north side to the downtown. And I don't think it was an unusually heavy day. It was just very difficult, and I think there are others who could attest to that coming from that direction. So that was the reason for my no vote.
Supervisor Pedretti.
I know we discussed this earlier, and I'm the one that was missing at that vote. Did you discuss how you're going to advertise this? I mean, that it's taking effect October 1st. How are we going to let the public know?
Mr. O'Malley.
Departments obviously would post it following this, and the amount of notice worked out well for the law enforcement center. Didn't have a big impact. This has been covered quite a bit in the papers, so there might be a few people that don't find out immediately, but we thought it was best to bring you the recommendation and to give enough notice following your meeting.
Just to follow up then, will there be anything on, in the halls or on the doors, kind of giving people a little?
Yes, okay. There will be notices put on the doors. Obviously, the newspaper is likely to cover this. We'll make changes on our website. We'll do a number of things, but immediately following, if you adopt this resolution, in the next several days, this will be put on the notices on the existing doors.
Okay, thank you.
Other discussion on the resolution? All those in favor of approval of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Burke, Schrader, Geary. That resolution is approved. Back Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. I have item 914, an ordinance for no-wake zones on French Slough. I ask that this be considered its first reading, and it will come up for action at the October regular meeting.
Supervisor Hampson has introduced for its first reading the ordinance. Any discussion this evening on that ordinance? It will come back again next month as well. Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When this was first proposed, Supervisor Meyer asked me if I was getting any feedback.
Supervisor Schrader, will you please make sure you're speaking into the microphone? We're having a hard time picking it up at the front of the room.
Is it not coming in all the time?
That's great right where you are. Thank you.
Okay, to start all over again, then, when this ordinance was first proposed, Supervisor Meyer asked me if I'd been getting any feedback on this, and I hadn't. Well, today and yesterday, I received a lot of feedback after the fact, and I guess all the people that were for the ordinance are people that live on the slough. However, I did get one from, it was addressed to me, that's why I'm reading this in, County Board Supervisor Jeff Schrader from Team Bass. Team Bass is a fisherman's club comprised of 24 members and promotes competition among anglers through tournament fishing. Team Bass is not for profit. And the subject is a no-wake proposal for Olivet Bay. Dear Jeff, Team Bass is a group of concerned fishermen that would like to learn more about...
Will you stay in the microphone again, please? I'm sorry for the interruption. Thank you.
Okay. Team Bass is a group of concerned fishermen that would like to learn more about the proposed ordinance that would restrict boat speed from the lower spillway landing south to the I-90 bridge. Our first reaction would be to stand against the proposed no-wake ordinance. However, we would certainly understand that perhaps the county would be interested in protecting the health, safety, and welfare of its boating citizens and guests by regulating boat speed. Is the concern erosion of the banks and or property damage to those that own property, or excessive traffic from boat landing and high-speed motorized boats? Our fishermen use the lower spillway landing on a consistent basis and are concerned citizens. If possible, please respond with the community thoughts relative to this subject. Thank you, Team Bass. And I think that it was all of the above that the citizens were concerned about.
So are you asking for answers to those questions tonight or for before we vote on it next month, or you're just wanting to share that comment?
If Supervisor Meyer would like to answer those two questions, that'd be fine.
Supervisor Meyer, would you care to respond?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Answer to both things that he talked about are yes. They're concerned about their boat docks along there, and they're concerned about the land along the French Slough. And I would wonder where these people were when we had the public hearing. They coming in with this letter now after the fact, and it's here, it's on record, but the public hearing is well passed. Thank you.
Other discussion on the ordinance. This is its first reading. We will have a chance again next month when it comes up for its second reading in action in October. If not, is that it for you, Supervisor Hampson?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Planning Resources and Development Committee, Supervisor Pedretti.
Thank you. Item 9-15, this is the second consideration of ordinance number 106 to create section 31.06 entitled Farmland Preservation Plan as part of the Cross County, Wisconsin Comprehensive Plan 2007 to 2027 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move for its approval.
Second. Supervisor Pedretti moves approval, seconded by Supervisor Burke. Discussion on the Farmland Preservation Ordinance.
If not, hearing none, all those in favor of the ordinance's approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is, the ordinance is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Thank you. Item 9-16, first consideration of ordinance number 107 to create section 1704-44A, 1736 parent 8A, and 17.41(1)(c)(15) to amend section 1736(1), 1736(12) of the repealed zoning code of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. And I won't be moving anything because this is the first consideration. And this deals with fees. No, I'm sorry, this is not the one with fees. Excuse me. This deals with anything that's going to have a 200 vehicle trips per day, in particular non-metallic mining. This helps protect those that are in the current zoning code. If a mine came in at this point, under the new zoning code, we are covered. So these are some of the townships that are in the in-between.
So Supervisor Pedretti has asked that this be considered its first reading. We will take it up again next month for its second reading and action. Any discussion tonight on this ordinance? Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. I hope I'm coming through this. Does this mean that we're regulating the number of trips on our county roads to somebody?
Either Mr. Handy or Mr. Lang? Rock, paper, scissors? What?
You know what mine's going to be. This would be anything in the industrial or agriculture district B zoning district. If their number of vehicle trips per day increased to over 200, they would be required to get a conditional use permit unless their current activity is already at that level. What this does is it matches the language in the new zoning ordinance in the interim period between when the towns decide if they're going to opt into the new zoning ordinance or not.
So then, am I correct in assuming that the industrial park at the south end of French Island would be included in this?
It would be included in this, but if they're already at that level, that they would be considered existing, and so they would be grandfathered in. They don't need to come in and get a conditional use permit for the activity that they're already doing. This would be new business or an existing business that at some point between now and January 30th increases their vehicle trips to over 200 per day.
How would we know that?
We rely on the county board supervisor to monitor all roads in their districts. That was in other duties as assigned in your job description.
It's really a self-reporting thing. We don't have video cameras out there checking on people's zoning issues. It's a self-reporting thing.
Any other questions this evening on this first reading of the ordinance? Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When's the deadline for the towns to opt in or out, or what was that date again?
January 30th, 2013.
Supervisor Paff.
Thank you. That was part of my question is, when they do either opt in or out the towns, will this ordinance here be irrelevant then? So it's only going to be good here for about 3 months.
That is accurate.
And by the time we pass it next month, it'll have 2 months of life left in it. And if they would sign up sooner than by January 13th.
Yeah, we have three towns that have signed up. So in those three towns, this ordinance will never go into effect. It's the new ordinance.
Okay.
Other discussion? Supervisor Hampson.
Mm-hmm. We could move to suspend the rules and have both readings tonight if that would solve that for anyone.
So we get a bigger bang for our buck on the ordinance?
Yeah,
we get
yeah,
4 months
yeah.
instead
so
of
So I actually am going to move for a suspension of the rules and ask for a second consideration tonight.
A second.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Becker to ask the board to suspend our rules and consider voting
or consider this both the first and second reading of this ordinance, meaning we would vote on it this evening. So discussion on Supervisor Hampson's motion to suspend the rules, which I believe is debatable. No discussion on it. Supervisor Paff.
Yes, thank you. I see no reason to do that. We do not have any problem at this point. And why are we suspending the rules on something like this that isn't going to have virtually no effect anyway? So I'm going to be voting against that. Thank you.
Other discussion on Supervisor Hampson's motion to suspend the rules? Supervisor Schrader, did you have your hand up? No.
I did, but it was in regards to the
to
answer
the
that
ordinance.
Yes.
Okay. So let's do the motion to suspend the rules first. Supervisor Pedretti, was your hand up?
Yes, it was.
Supervisor Pedretti.
Thank you. From the standpoint of our committee, I think our thinking was we wanted to protect the townships out there in case something came in that gives them a little extra protection in the next few months. Since it was brought up tonight that, you know, that's not very much a window, if we increase it an extra month, does that help protect an extra month? Yes. Is anything coming in? Nothing that we know of. Is it the end of the world if it doesn't? No, this month, but again, it's just the protection for another 4 or 5 months. Does this help towns? I think it would. So I would vote to take it up tonight. Thank you.
Supervisor Holtz.
Madam Chair, thank you. I have no problem with the ordinance itself, but I very seriously have problems suspending the rules for things, so I'll be voting no.
Supervisor Friedland.
Sorry, I have the question of whether the towns have all been advised of this. Do they all know about this?
Any ordinance amendment, any text amendment or map amendment requires significant notice specifically to the clerks, obviously by statute, but then we also go the extra mile as a staff to ensure that not only the clerks but also each member of the town boards gets a notice of these ordinance amendments. So we've done that, and we had minimal contact from the towns back as far as their debate on this issue.
Other discussion on the motion to suspend the rules, which for everybody's edification, or at least mine, requires a two-thirds vote of members present. And we will be voting on the computer on this because my math is terrible right now. So on the computer, yes, if you are in favor of suspending the rules to allow the board to consider first and second readings and vote on the ordinance this evening, no, if you are opposed to that. Supervisor Berg, have you cast your vote? The motion to suspend the rules has been approved on a 20-6 vote. So now we are back to discussion on the ordinance. Now, Supervisor Schrader.
No, it was just, I think Mr. Geary had asked the question when the towns had to opt out or. And I was just going to say that I think it's a process, and Charlie can probably give you more information on that. It just doesn't happen like on the 13th or whenever it was. You want to fill them in, Charlie, how that works?
Well, the January 30th deadline is really the deadline when it has to happen by, but it's really a process where the town has debate. If they decide that they're not going to go with countywide zoning, then they have to decide what their next step is, if they're going to just have no zoning in that town or if they're going to do their own zoning. If they're going to do their own zoning, then it's probably a 90-day process for them to draft an ordinance, get it out for public hearing, have the debate, have the first reading, have the second reading, etc. So, you know, that's a longer drawn-out process than that January 30th deadline would kind of indicate. It's also a relationship where we talk with the towns at length about the issue and help them with that policy debate that they have to have, whether they feel that they have the staff and the expertise, etc., to do this work. And so it's like Jeff says, it's a long process, and we've been doing it since March of 2008. So that January 30th, 2013 deadline is really kind of a little bit misleading, like Jeff says. It takes a long time to make this decision.
Supervisor Holtz.
Madam Chairman, point of order, I guess. I don't believe we have a seconded motion on the floor.
I think Meyer seconded Supervisor Pedretti's. We'll check with the clerk here. Supervisor Meyer thinks that he seconded it, but we will. Okay, so Supervisor Pedretti's motion to approve. Well, will you put it back on the floor, please? I'm sorry, we've been debating it now, and I guess we don't officially have it on the floor.
I'd be happy
to. My apologies.
I make a motion that we approve ordinance number 107.
Moved by Supervisor Pedretti, seconded by Supervisor Meyer to approve the ordinance 107. Thank you, Supervisor Holtz. Any other discussion on the ordinance? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That ordinance is approved. Thank you. Back to you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Thank you. Item 9-17, a resolution to the honorable members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, fees for conditional use permits for high-volume commercial or industrial uses. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby approves a fee of $5,000 for a conditional use permit application for any use generating more than 200 vehicle trips per day. Fiscal note, the fee will provide revenue to cover the cost of processing such applications. I move its approval.
Supervisor Pedretti moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Jerome. Discussion on the resolution. Supervisor Spiker.
Could somebody explain it? We're going from $372 to $5,000.
Mr. Handy will explain.
Actually, this is a real new conditional use permit, so it's really not going from $372. It's going from zero, if you will. We don't really have a conditional use permit for 200 vehicle trip CUPs until the new ordinance is in place. So in three towns we do now, and with the adoption that you just did, now we do in all of the towns. The reason for $5,000 is really because of the significant amount of workload that these conditional use permits we expect to generate. Now, we're going to monitor that and give you updates as we go so that you can review if the $5,000 is appropriate based on the time that's put into this. What we feel is these types of businesses, and one of the best examples that we can give you would be a frac sand mine generating the number of vehicle trips. Obviously, there's going to be a significant amount of public scrutiny. We feel that there will be quite a bit of staff time spent answering questions, asking for more information from the applicant, and providing that information to interested individuals, parties, etc., in these situations. And like I said, the example would be a frac sand mine. We're planning to spend additional time inspecting the sites once they're approved, and then beyond that, all of the issues that come along with that, and there's a list that we did through the minutes to the PR&D committee of the estimate of expense, staff hours, public information requests, application review, compliance monitoring, and then notification to the public. The estimated cost that we came up with was $4,955 per application. Now, again, that's an estimate. That's a projection. We have not dealt with these at all. We're coming up with those numbers and talking with our peers in some of these other municipalities and counties that have these permit applications come to them. And we will, like I said, monitor how much time it's taking us and what we're investing as far as staff time and county dollars to work with these applications. And then I think over a period of time, then we'll have a historic record of that data. We can adjust this fee based on what it's actually costing.
Would this affect a quarry too? I'm thinking of the one north of Holman. I don't think they have 200 vehicles a day come in and out of there, but they have quite a few. Would that affect that?
It wouldn't affect them because they're already existing. They are grandfathered in. They don't need to get this conditional use permit for the activities if they're continuing.
What kind of permit have they got now?
I don't exactly know if
not Kings, a conditional use,
Kings Bluff might be zoned for the quarry, but they may have a conditional use permit. I don't know offhand which way it is.
Okay.
We do have both examples in La Crosse County where some quarries are conditional use permits currently and some are rezonings. But those conditional use permits are already paid for. They've
right.
You know, so this fee
doesn't apply
to those that are existing.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Meyer.
Charlie, it's a one-time fee to just apply. So is there an annual fee after that, or?
No, what we have is the one-time application fee.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Downer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would this affect, then, any of those industries that are in the north side across Industrial Park because of that little section of highway that we own there between Highway 16 and that industrial park there, which came up at our planning committee meeting at that a couple months ago?
It wouldn't affect them for a number of reasons. One, they're in the city of La Crosse, so they're not in our jurisdiction. And two, they're already existing. So if they were in our jurisdiction, it wouldn't apply to them. This is for new applications.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Charlie, so it's $5,000 to apply. If you're turned down, you're out the $5,000, correct? Even though all those other fees were never expended, the public relations fee, the inspection fees, is there a way to break that up where one would be, you know, to apply, and then if you're granted the thing, then the other fees would kick in?
There's a way to do everything. So, yes, there is a way you could do that. We didn't propose that. But there certainly is a way you could make that work.
Because I could see, you know, through neighborhood organizations, a lot of these actually being turned down and to hit them for $5,000 right off the bat when, you know, the majority of the fee is for actually after it would be issued. I'm not convinced that that's, a real fair thing to do. Thank you.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Charlie, are there any non-frac sand mining applications or anticipated applications that would be over 200 vehicles a day?
We anticipate that there may be applications, not frac sand mines, that would be required to apply for this, yes.
Okay, like what?
200 vehicle trips a day is quite a bit. So it would be in the industrial, if you had something like the Walmart distribution center in Toma. There's probably that kind of significant amount of traffic for something like that. There could be quite a few different examples similar to that where there's a lot of trips per day.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Holtz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I tend to disagree with Supervisor Ebert's contention that most of this money would be spent after a permit is granted. I think the staff time is going to be spent gathering information for the committee, putting up the public hearing, publications, and all the different costs involved, time reviewing all this stuff up front, because prior to the board voting or the committee voting, all this information has to be gathered. So I think the staff time is going to be used up prior to our turning one down, if we did turn it down. So I don't see that the $5,000 is out of line, considering how much we got to pay our staff and how many anticipated hours there might be involved trying to do a comprehensive review. So I think $5,000 is a reasonable figure, subject to your review for future ones if it proves to be too high.
I would just remind supervisors that I don't know if it's just certain microphones in this room tonight, but will you please make sure that you're speaking directly into the microphones? Some pockets in the room are having a hard time hearing folks. Supervisor Friedland. It was really Supervisor Pedretti, one row ahead of you. Sorry. Supervisor Pedretti.
I think $5,000, we studied this at our committee level. We talked about it. They gave us a great background paper. It's not unreasonable for this type of thing. If you talk to Trempealeau County, you go up to Buffalo County, the amount of hours the staff takes, this is a very contentious issue if it is the frac sand, obviously other ones. I think that when we're looking at the budget, we're trying to figure out ways to cut the budget or to cut staffing. This is saying that whoever's applying is going to be causing this extra work. They should be paying the fee. They should be paying for that extra work. And I, quite frankly, think $5,000 might be lowballing it, and we might come back and have to increase it. And there are some counties that have more than that. So I think this is a reasonable fee, and I would hope to have your support. And I think, Charlie, you wanted to add to that?
I just have done a very quick math here, and those of you that know me, that's dangerous. About $2,750 for upfront application and work, and about $2,250 for review after the fact. So it's a little bit more than half for the upfront application work, public hearing work, etc., and a little bit less than half after that.
Supervisor Schrader.
Charlie, then would it be possible that this would affect businesses like hotels or motels or something that you really don't want to have this effect? If, say, somebody wanted to develop a large hotel.
No, it's not likely. Those would more than likely go into the commercial zoning district, not the industrial or recreational natural resource district. And obviously, if they're looking at a $5,000 permit, conditional use permit application fee, they'll avoid those zoning districts when they come in. So typically, those type of businesses are going to go into that commercial district.
Anybody else wishing to be heard for the first time on this? Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does the weight of the trucks matter, as long as they're 88,000?
Well, the weight of the trucks matters from a standpoint of the road lifespan of the road, not as far as this fee goes, but as far as, yes, ensuring that we continue to try to minimize those long-term budget costs of road life. So that will be an issue. We'll have road agreements with projects like this to try to minimize their impacts on the road.
Anybody else wishing to be heard for the first time? If not, Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to give you a scenario. A petitioner comes in and petitions for a conditional use permit. The planning committee approves it at the county level. The county board approves it. Then it's vetoed by the town board. Do they get their $5,000 back then, or is it still a loss?
No, it's still a loss.
Still, even though it had, we want to approve it.
Right, and again, $2,700 worth of costs have already been expended. by the county by at that point when the county board approves it. So,
but we had approval. It's nothing that we have to do with. They have veto powers of the towns. Okay, thank you.
Excuse me. That's wrong. I'm sorry. The towns have veto power over zoning, not over a conditional use permit. We do request the input of the towns because obviously you respect their input, but their veto power is over a zoning amendment, not a conditional use permit.
And Charlie, can you also tell us, are there other cases, other fees that get paid where the applicant runs the same type of risk that they could go through the process of, yes, for example, meeting conditions on a conditional use permit, yeah, and fail on one of a long list of conditions and they've still incurred?
Yeah. Every one of the zoning applications that you'll see tonight on this agenda have run that risk when they make the application. Mm-hmm. And conditional use permits and special exception permits, etc., that is the applicant's choice.
Other discussion on the resolution? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are, raise your hands, please, Supervisor Ebert, Supervisor Berg. That resolution is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Healthy discussion. Item 9-18, Zoning Petition 1908 to amend the La Crosse County Zoning Ordinance filed by Scott and Christine Beckham to rezone from Transitional Ag District to Ag District A, a 39.87-acre parcel for the sale of a proposed 7.72-acre parcel to an adjoining landowner. The following described land in the town of Greenfield. I move its approval with the committee's report with three conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves approval of the committee report with three conditions, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Thank you. Item 9-19, Conditional Use Permit 839, filed by Sylvester and Patricia Clements for an after-the-fact livestock facility expansion for 259 animal units on land zoned exclusive ag district in the town of Washington. I move the committee's report with the one condition.
Supervisor Pedretti moves approval of the committee report with one condition, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on this item. Supervisor Schrader.
Has that been completed, the 51?
The dead cat.
Has the condition been met already?
Yes, has that condition
right, but
been
the condition
met?
Has to continue to be met. And that is the condition, that he has to continue to meet the dead cat requirements.
But he has met that.
Charlie, you want to confirm?
Yeah, we can't even bring this application forward until the Land Conservation Department deems the application complete. So, yes, that has been met.
Other discussion on this item? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Thank you. Item 9-20, Conditional Use Permit 860, filed by Terry Stone and Rhonda Peterson Stone to construct a farm residence on a 35.22-acre, more or less, base farm tract on land-zoned exclusive ag district in the town of Holland. I move the committee report with three conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves approval of the committee report with three conditions, seconded by Supervisor Landre. Discussion on this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Thank you. Item 9-21, Conditional Use Permit 861, filed by Greg Sasha for an existing farm residence on Lot 1, which is 2.43 acres, of a pending certified survey map located within a 111.71-acre, more or less, base farm tract on land zoned exclusive and general ag district in the town of Holland. I move the committee report with four conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves approval of the committee report with four conditions, seconded by Supervisor Jerome. Discussion on this item. Supervisor Schrader. Will you please make sure you're eating the microphone when you're talking to it, please?
Sorry. it looks like the only access to this is the pedestrian easement.
If I may? That
Supervisor Pedretti.
But the map you're looking at where it says the pedestrian easement is to a cemetery that's from 1850. The access is a driveway that goes to the farmstead. That's the outlot you're looking at.
Other discussion on this item? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
And our last one, item 9-22, zoning petition 1909 to amend the La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Richard A. Berg, acting on behalf of Ruth Marco to rezone from transitional ag district to ag district A, an approximate 5-acre parcel to allow for a proposed 2-lot certified survey map in the town of Onalaska. I move the committee report, which was to approve.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Is that it for you?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Pedretti. Suggestions for future agenda items. We will be doing budget a lot in the next couple of months. Supervisor Meyer.
This is a point of information on this letter.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have an interview committee? It doesn't really ask for it in here, but you're going to have a committee that actually interviews the person?
Yeah, I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear that I was inviting anybody and any and all supervisors who wish to participate in the interviews for the District 11 supervisor. I would welcome your participation.
But don't they have to be there for each interview then?
Yeah, we will be conducting those interviews sometime during the week of October 22nd, and the expectation would be that if you want to provide feedback to me in the appointment recommendation, that you should be in attendance at all of the interviews so you see all of the all the applicants.
Keyword is all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Future agenda items. Supervisor Spiker.
This is the third time I tried now.
Uh-oh.
Can we have a report from the West Salem Business Park, please? I requested twice at two different county board meetings, and I had no response.
We apologize for forgetting that. I will blame it on somebody else, but take responsibility
I'll
for
accept
it.
Responsibility. I'll follow through.
So we will expect in October to have a report on the Lakeview Business Park.
Madam Chair?
Other?
Just to remind everybody, I'll be distributing copies of the PowerPoint, so if you'd like those notes, I've got that.
It's all burned in our memory while we were listening to you. I don't know that we need those. Two other quick reminders. Directions to the Tiki Bar are up here at the front. And those who ordered shirts should plan to pick them up from the clerk before you leave this evening. Hopefully, well, you can't get them unless you pay for them. So hopefully you brought payment for them. Seeing no other future agenda items, I would call on Supervisor Ebert for a motion to adjourn. Please.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Moved by Supervisor Ebert. Seconded by Supervisor Karen Johnson. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned with the thanks of the chair.